the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great to have you. Wonderful radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com, also Newsmax TV. It is the Joe Pags Show coming your way on a Tuesday. Crazy Train Tuesday. E-O-U, sometimes Y. Let's go! Oh, yeah. That's how we do. Carrie, what's going on?
Hey, how are you?
Making it happen, living the dream, getting it done. Here, let's see what you're looking like. Whoa! That is scary.
Oh,
scary
shucks. I'm not
today.
Wearing a costume.
What?
I am not.
Oh, you're not?
No.
What's that?
No.
You're not wearing
you're
a costume?
You're hilarious. No.
Now, you made the mistake of posting something earlier and calling me out in the post. I had nothing to do with it.
I know.
But
I did,
for some reason, got called out. So we'll bring that up in a little while. Okay. But unfortunately, there is some very serious news going on in Manhattan, New York City, even as we speak. For those who have been at work all day, those who have been starting to follow this, if you can, please fill us in on what it is that's going on there. I know that it's being called a terrorist attack. Go ahead.
Right. From the Daily Caller, at least 8 people were killed, numerous injured in lower Manhattan Tuesday afternoon, and what Mayor Bill de Blasio called a terror attack. NYPD officials confirmed the attacker drove a truck onto a bike path, hit several people in a school bus before opening fire. First responders are currently swarming the site. An eyewitness told the Daily Caller News Foundation that the attacker is now in the hospital and in police custody. NYPD confirmed at a Tuesday press conference the man yelled Allahu Akbar while being apprehended. FBI agents have also opened an investigation into the terror attack, according to CBS. CBS reporters identified the shooter as 29-year-old Seifuyo Habibulovic Saipov of Tampa, Florida, but authorities have declined to confirm the perpetrator's name. President Donald Trump addressed the attack on Twitter within hours of the attack. The gunman's been treated for a gunshot wound and is still in the hospital. Two others hit by the vehicle are in New York City operating rooms. At least two other victims are in the hospital, but in stable condition, police announced. It appears to my uneducated eye this was absolutely an attack, the source told the DCNF. I'm 100% that the attacker hit several direct targets on the bike path. There is no doubt in my mind. The attacker drove at least half a mile down a two-way bike path near the World Trade Center Memorial. An eyewitness claims the attacker exited the vehicle and started shooting near the Goldman Sachs building. Comm systems in at least one nearby building alerted those inside to an ongoing security event. SWAT officers reportedly cleared several of the lower buildings on the nearby waterfront and cordoned off the area in order to capture anyone fleeing the scene, the source said.
All right, so a terrorist attack, lower Manhattan, near the World Trade Center Memorial. That is lower Manhattan. It's right there where the buildings used to stand. And this is a bike path. Guy, according to police, drives down the bike path, mowing down anybody he can, gets out, says Allahu Akbar, which means either God is great or Allah is great. If you know anything about Islam, Allah is the God of those who follow Islam. There's an argument, depending on what revisionist you want to believe, whether Allah was the moon god or Allah is God, like the Abrahamic God. That seems to be up for debate, depending on who you talk to. But here's another idiot, like at Fort Hood, like at any number of places, somebody yelling what he believes to be God is great, killing people because they happen to be riding down a bike path in New York City. So that's what's going on. 8 dead right now, Carrie, that's what
yes,
we know?
Yes, 8 people are dead.
Because a few minutes ago it was 5 or 6, and now the numbers are going up.
Yes.
And it makes you sick. Now, from what I understand, from reading some stuff online, it appears as though ISIS had made threats that on Halloween something was going to happen. Maybe this is what it is. Who knows? But it seems to me that these Islamic terrorists look for any opportunity where people might be trying to enjoy their lives. You know, you're riding a bike down a bike path. You're out maybe trick-or-treating. So be extra careful tonight as you head out. I certainly want you to go and enjoy your Halloween. Just always keep it in mind, man. Always keep it in mind because there are bad people out there looking to disrupt our lives. And if you've been to that part of Manhattan, New York, I'm not there now, I'm in Texas, but if you've been to that part of Manhattan, it is a very, very highly populated area. I mean, all of New York City is 8 or 9 million people in one place. But we're going to keep an eye on this. Carrie, any updates on that, just let me know.
I will.
And we'll jump back to that topic without a doubt. To that end, I immediately got a hold of an author. His name is Raheem Kassam. He wrote a book called No-Go Zones, How Sharia Law is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. And we'll have him on at the bottom of this hour to talk about this situation. So I wonder, and we'll start things out here. We'll circle back to it if we move on, because at the bottom, again, we'll have the interview and we'll have him on live. I wonder if you've changed your life at all because of the propensity to see a terrorist attack. You know, when you're out there just enjoying your life, you go to a concert, you go to, you know, a ball game, you go to a, you know, a marathon running in Boston, you go to a ready room at a military installation. Now you're down a bike path, or you're at Bastille Day in Nice, France, or you're walking down the street in Paris, or you're in Brussels. I mean, have you changed your life at all, or do we just now accept that it's going to happen? What are you going to do? You know, people are going to die, and somebody's going to yell, hey, my God made me do it. Is that where we are in this country? It makes my face hurt. Carrie, you think about it at all when you head out?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, over the summer, we were at some pretty big sporting events, and it is in the back of your head, but it didn't stop us from doing what we wanted to do.
It's a sad fact in 2017 America, 2017 Western world. There are people, and because of our freedom and our liberty and our generosity in accepting people coming to the country, and our generosity in accepting anybody with any political belief or religious belief, even if that religious belief says, you know, kill people who don't believe like you, because of our openness and our nearness to freedom, we're not totally free, but we're the freest liberated country on planet Earth. It attracts people to come here and take advantage of those freedoms that we enjoy. So have you changed your lives at all? 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. We'll take a phone call or two on that. And again, bottom of the hour, it'll be author Raheem Kassam. And again, his book is No-Go Zones, How Sharia Law is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. We'll make sure that we talk to him about this and see how, I don't know, if we have to change our lives. We certainly need to be more aware. But if we have to change our lives, how do we do so? How do we know when this is going to happen? Oh, this might be at the bike path on Halloween. Who knows that? Nobody knows that. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. An update on my travels the next couple of days. Going to Washington, D.C. tomorrow morning. Carrie, it's so interesting. I'm trying to set up interviews. I know that I'll have Kevin Brady tomorrow off the top of the show. He's the House Ways and Means Committee chair. He's the guy who is in charge of trying to get this tax reform plan accepted by the American people and accepted by the House of Representatives. He's like the guy when it comes to spending in the House of Representatives. He's also a District 8 Republican from the great state of Texas. We'll have him on top of the hour, hour one tomorrow. The top of hour three, and those watching on Newsmax, you won't hear this, but on radio you'll hear this. I'll have Senator Ted Cruz. And we'll talk about that again, the tax reform bill that is going to be dropped tomorrow. And then we'll also talk about, you know, other stuff, border security, his thoughts about the Manafort and all this other stuff. So we've got them. We know that for sure. Working on some other people. But what's interesting is we're going to be there at like 2 o'clock. And the show starts Eastern time, 6 o'clock. And like everybody's like, well, stop by the House, stop by the Senate. We like to say hi. And I'm like, I don't think I can.
Well, you don't have
and then
time,
the next day we'll
right?
be at the White House for like 5 or 6 hours. And we're going to be at the White House in something called Radio Row, and we're going to be taking interviews or you know, bringing you all sorts of interviews on Friday. I can't do it Thursday. I will call the show, though, on Thursday to talk about who we got. I don't think I can even say now, and here we are 2 days before.
Wow.
I don't think I can say who it is it sounds like we're going to interview. But we'll have some big interviews, and we'll bring those to you on Friday. But we're going to be probably, you know, a good 5-6 hours at the White House on Thursday. And I still don't know if I can go to the House and Senate. I mean, you would think I'd be able to, right? But I think you have to be there like 2 or 3 hours before to try to procure
that.
The interviews I'm hoping to procure.
Okay, got it.
So
busy
do what
man.
You
got
to do. You jump through whatever hoops you got to jump through. Then we'll skedaddle back to Texas Friday morning, and then we'll post-produce these interviews, and it should be one hell of a show on Friday. So that's what's going on. Now, you know me, I'm hashtag hermit. This is
going to be very difficult for you the next couple of days.
A little out of my comfort zone, but you know what? For the people, Carrie, I'll do it.
Of course you will.
I will do it for the people. And these are great opportunities. So again, we know we've got House Ways and Means Committee Chair Kevin Brady tomorrow, top of the show. And that'll be a good one because he's the guy that, I don't know if he's the author of, but he's certainly the guy pushing the tax reform plan. We'll have Senator Ted Cruz, of course, came in second place in running for the Republican nominee for president. So we'll have him tomorrow, top of hour three. And whatever assorted interviews we could fit in between, and we're working on getting more. I think that the governor of Texas is going to be or is in Washington now, Greg Abbott. So if we're in the same place, same time, we'll probably try to get him too. I do know, however, today, bottom of hour number two, it'll be Ken Paxton, who is the attorney general of the great state of Texas. Now, why are we talking to Ken Paxton today? Have you heard this story of the illegal alien who was pregnant? She was 17.
Yes.
Wanted an abortion.
Yeah, we covered it.
Texas was saying, well, no, you have no right to abortion. And then ended up getting the abortion anyway because the ACLU sued or some crap.
Right.
And it's interesting because Paxton says the U.S. Department of Justice argued the case the wrong way. If they would have argued it the way that he was arguing it, they probably would have won. So that story's not over by a long shot. Bottom of hour number two today, we'll bring you Ken Paxton. All right, have I lined everything up?
I think I have. I think so.
Plus, we've got people calling in about whether you've changed your life because of the potential for a terrorist attack. We'll talk to you about that. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Hey, great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks, the Joe Pags Show. It is an ultimate pleasure to have you here. Thank you. Carrie, did I just confuse people with that whole lineup that I just set up?
Probably you confused a couple of people with it. You can go over it again later.
I mean, I think it was pretty straightforward. Bottom of this hour, it'll be author Raheem Kassam, author of No-Go Zones, How Sharia Law is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. I will be on the air tomorrow. Bottom of hour two, by the way, it'll be Ken Paxton, the AG of Texas. He's going to talk about the illegal alien getting an abortion. Tomorrow, I will be in D.C. I'll be on the air, though. I'll be on both television and radio. They're going to be at the Newsmax studio in D.C. And I might have some people live in the studio, but that's... I guess that members of Congress are really, really busy with this tax reform thing, so getting them out of the building is hard, although I've been invited to several people's offices, which I really can't do because we land at such an hour that really going to have to get the place where we're staying and then get over to the studio to figure things out, okay? But tomorrow, we'll be on the air, top of the first hour, make sure you're around, Kevin Brady, big, big, big deal, big player, the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. When it comes to tax reform, what does this tax plan say? We will spell it out tomorrow, top of the hour. Top of hour three, it'll be Ted Cruz, senator, of course, great Republican from the great state of Texas, almost became the nominee for president, missed it by that much. All right, so we'll have him on. We may get Will Hurd, who we were trying to connect with, might get Joy Villa, who is a great singer and now on the reelection board for the president, Donald Trump. So we're working on a lot of stuff. Bottom line is we will have a show tomorrow, and it's going to be chock full of information and guests that you're going to want to hear from when it comes to tax reform. The big plan drops tomorrow. Thursday, I will not be on the show. On television, you probably will see either tomorrow's show on Thursday again or some other combination of stuff. Something will happen on Newsmax. On radio, it's going to be Mike Opelka, formerly of The Blaze. Mike is a great friend. He's a great guy. And I'm going to call my show tomorrow, Carrie. At the beginning of the show, provided I've already done the interviews, and this will be Thursday, I will call at the beginning to say who I did in fact get. Because you know me, okay. I've requested everybody.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Requested everybody. So we'll give you a nice preview Thursday on what we're going to be bringing you on Friday. Okay. I think that's clear enough. I think that's pretty spelled out.
I think think so.
No.
Yeah. Sounds good.
So why do you still look confused?
I'm not confused.
Now, is that a lumberjack shirt or not? I mean, is it flannel? That really is flannel, isn't it?
Because
the other one wasn't.
It may be.
Now, did you want to tell the people why you're leaving an hour and a half early tonight? Did you want to tell the people?
Because I'm a mom and I'm going trick-or-treating.
Hashtag, Carrie don't care.
I do care.
Now, will you dress up?
Yes, I'm going to dress up.
Oh, in fact, I saw that post on Facebook.
Yes.
And a friend of ours said, I dare you to wear it on the air.
Yeah.
And then what was your response? I can't remember what your response was.
Well, something that I thought about it, but then my common sense kicked in because I work with a large child.
So either you're talking about Polo or Karina or ding, 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 I'm the winner. I'm the large child. Is that what you're saying?
You figured it out, yeah.
Now, I was going to leave
it alone.
I thought
I'd get a lot of crap
with
that.
I was going to say a word.
If I dressed up.
Wasn't going to say a word.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Yeah.
But then I had to go at you.
Because
you said something about you didn't want me to embarrass you. Or no, you said that you were going to embarrass your children tonight. And I said, I wasn't going to say a word until you attacked me. And you know me.
And then you went after me.
I have to attack back. I got to hit back.
I know you do.
And the hit back was, you mean like you embarrass us every day on the show.
That was
now,
really
what is your outfit? You're a cat? What are you?
I'm going to be a cat. I'm going to be a cat tonight. Yeah.
Wow.
Don't. You're not. What are you going to be?
You're not going to go
trick or treating with your kids. So.
I'm going to be a talk show host. You know what? One of us has to do the show the whole 3 hours.
Okay, you're right.
Are you really calling me out for working on the show?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Wow.
All right, I'm sorry. You're the professional one.
All right.
I am not.
A serious question I asked of the people watching and listening. Have you adjusted your lives because you know that bad guys who believe they're God want you to die if you don't believe like them are looking to get rid of you? Are you changing your life? Have you changed your life at all? I mean, I got to tell you this, and people know this about me, a big Second Amendment guy. I carry a gun now, and I didn't used to. I used to walk around not worry about it much. And it's not just because of the risk of terrorism. It's because of the risk of any bad person doing something bad to my family or to my, you know, grabbing my stuff or doing something to me. So that's something that I certainly do now. What have you done? What have you done to change? Let me go to the phone lines and say hello and welcome to James in San Antonio. Hi, James. What's going on?
Hi, Joe. I listen to your show every day right after work when I'm on the way home. I'm 68. I've been living in San Antonio for all my life, and my life has changed since all this has happened.
How?
Well, when my wife and I, we like to go out to clubs once in a while and dance and listen to some music, some of the local clubs in San Antonio. And now when I go to the clubs, I look for all the exits. I find tables that are close to the exits.
Yeah.
Even when we sit at the table, I'll sit in front of my wife. If I look at a scenario like somebody would be coming through the front door with guns, who's going to get hit first? It's always on my mind while I'm there. I'm always looking at those exits in the front door. And so,
James, I think you make a very good point. I mean, I tend to sit where I can see the front door. And that's the advice that police are giving people now. You've got to be aware. If there's a heightened sense of awareness to where it actually takes away from the enjoyment of being a free and liberated American. It really does.
That's right. I agree with you.
All right, brother. I appreciate you, James. Thank you. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Abdi is in St. Paul. I've only got a minute. Make it happen. Come on.
My call, Joe. So I'm just calling in to say that it is an issue where we're pretty much feeling that we're an insular security nation, where I went to a 4th of July event and I was enjoying it with friends, and next thing you know, I just noticed the barricades that we have. Rather than, like, I'm a Trump supporter, but I'm also a Muslim. I'm from Somalia, and even I can know that at some point we have to really be conscious about who we let into the country.
I want to ask you one quick question, because your call could have been amazing, but I'm almost out of time. Do you or do you not think that the Muslim community, the good Muslims like you, should step up and be louder like you're being to stop the bad ones?
Oh, of course. I mean, it's on us. You know what I mean? And I would even go forth and say it's on us through our religion to you know, oppose these people. But not even that. It's that the second that you say that there's a problem and this is coming from the Muslim community, they all freeze up and they all want to talk about PC and political correctness. I mean, what Raheem has written about with the neighborhoods, it's true. There is Sharia.
I got to run. I've got him next. It's a great lead into what we're doing next. It'll be Raheem Kassam. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, also Newsmax TV. Glad to have you along for the ride on a Tuesday. Really glad to have this guy on. This was a last-minute interview set up, and he switched some things around and came on for us, and we appreciate it. It's the author of No-Go Zones, How Sharia Law is Becoming or Is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. His name is Raheem Kassam. Raheem, how are you?
I'm very well, Joe. How are you?
I really appreciate you coming on. I'm doing well, but I hate meeting new people because somebody just killed a bunch of people. You know what I mean? I wish that we had met under different circumstances, obviously.
Seems like the way that we end up networking with each other nowadays is through incidents and atrocities. It's something I'm familiar with, being from Europe, of course. We've had 45 of these incidents this year alone, Joe. But the United States really has an uphill task ahead of it, because there is just so much in the way of blockages and stoppages to policies that would make this country safer. The left continues to push. And so, you know, on a day like today, we really must look at what the courts across America are doing, what Obama was doing, how all these refugees came in, and what's taking place as a result of it.
It's Raheem Kassam. He's the author of No-Go Zones, How Sharia Law is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. Yeah, we've seen this in Europe. And you know what? Unfortunately, although, you know, with the internet and the day and age in which we live, it's not as far as it used to be. But Europe still is, to an American, a very faraway place, a very foreign land. It's happening over there. It's horrible. I wish it wouldn't happen in Brussels and Manchester and London and Paris and Nice. Boy, I hate that it happened, but that's over there. Raheem, it's here now. You're in Lower Manhattan, right outside of where the memorial is, to where radical Islamic pieces of garbage took down the Twin Towers, and now 8 people are dead because they decided to ride bikes on a bike trail. So we need to raise our awareness, obviously, but what do we do now before this becomes epidemic here?
Well, that's just a huge... I mean, how long have you got? Here's where we need to start, is to stop allowing the left to drive this narrative, is to stop allowing the policies that were supposed to be put into place, the travel ban, for instance, the other one being the merit-based immigration system that President Trump wants to implement, allowing the security services and the police to do their jobs, unlike Mayor Bill de Blasio, who wants to stymie them at every opportunity. There needs to be an uprising amongst people, like there was on November the 8th last year, to say we won't tolerate this anymore. We won't tolerate people mowing down civilians on the streets. But also what there needs to be, Joe, is a much more serious conversation. And I believe this needs to start with the White House, and it needs to start with a prescription, a ban on the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization in this country. All the things that Donald Trump is doing correctly, he's not doing the one big thing that would actually disrupt and help to start dismantling this network across the United States, and that is banning the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. It has so many entities, so many arms, so many outlets, so many front groups, organizations in this country that push for Sharia law, that radicalize these young men and women. And at this point in time, we're 10 months into this administration, no moves on that have been made, and I hope this attack will bring to the mind of President Trump the fact that this is sitting on a stack of papers somewhere and he needs to get it done.
It's Raheem Kassam. He is the author of No-Go Zones, How Sharia Law is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. The Muslim Brotherhood has a very easy to find on the internet manifesto, what they want to do. CARE has been an organization that has been said to be connected to the Muslim Brotherhood and others. You're right, but our open borders and our refugee system and our First Amendment that gives freedom of religion and freedom to worship as you see fit is being used against us. And of course, the First Amendment doesn't allow you to smite at the neck anybody who you see, you know, who you deem as an infidel or doesn't believe like you believe. But we're seeing that, and then we're calling them radical people. We're calling them people outside of what Islam is. The fact is, if you're a fundamentalist Islamist, you believe that either you believe like I do or you die, don't you?
Up to 51% of Muslims in America believe that they should be able to choose whether to live by Sharia law or live by U.S. law.
And
so you can't buy this narrative that, oh, it's a tiny minority of people. It's not a tiny minority of people. It is at least 40 80% of young Muslims in the United Kingdom say the very same thing, and 51% of Muslims in the United States say the same thing. There has to be, I mean, Teddy Roosevelt talked about this so many decades ago, there has to be firm, hard asks, nay, demands made of migrants into this country, into any Western nation, that we have one flag, we have one anthem, we have one language. And isn't it incredible that on the day after the Latino Victory Fund, this Democrat organization, put out an advert that showed a man driving a truck with a Confederate flag on the back, plowing into young ethnic minority children in Virginia. Isn't it incredible that one day after that, we see that all along, this is not a problem on our side. This is a problem on the what I call the Red-Green Alliance's side, the Islamists and the leftists. Coming together to defend an extremist fascist ideology. And here's what you said just a minute ago, that the freedom of religion protects this, but Islam isn't strictly a religion. That's what we struggle to wrap our heads around. This is
it's a government construct
ideology,
too, right? Yeah.
It is. It's a state-sponsored construct, and it is a political ideology. There are many Muslims out there, by the way, that don't want to live by the Sharia. We have to identify them. We have to drive a wedge between them and the Quranic literalists and fundamentalists. That would be the way to go about this. Instead, we tie ourselves up in knots, talking about Islamophobia and, you know, how can we be nicer and more welcoming? Listen, you could have been the nicest person in the world to this person who mowed down eight people earlier, killed eight people, mowed down more in New York earlier. It wouldn't have made a difference to them. The crocodile will eat you nevertheless.
It's Raheem Kassam. The name of the book is No Go Zones, How Sharia Law is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. I've got to ask you, Raheem, do you believe that the majority of Muslims who say they want to have Sharia law understand it? Because if they did, they understand that women are 50% of what men are. They understand that if you're homosexual, you die. You get thrown off of a roof. You understand that the Hadith calls for violence. And because of the way the Quran is set up, all the early peaceful, you know, mentions and notations are gone by the later violent passages. Do they not know that, or do they know that and don't care?
Such an incredible question. It's hard to really pin down what percentage of them will know and what percentage of them just think of it as adherence to the way Muhammad lived his life, and it's been drilled into them that they have to live their lives that way too. What we can say and what we do know is that the first Muslim migrants into the West, on the whole, were actually not interested in Sharia. They were trying to get away from it. They wanted to live their lives, get jobs, own houses, own businesses, pay their taxes, you know, well, in so much as anybody wants to pay their taxes, but, you know, they wanted to get out of what they were in. It's their kids and their grandkids. It's the second and third generations that we see perpetrating these attacks. And why? Because we have allowed a lax system that lets the Saudi Arabian government fund mosques in the United States and in the United Kingdom and across Germany and France, and we let that happen. You know, it's a very easy policy to implement, to actually say, do you know what? If you're running a religious institution in the United States, you may not take money from abroad. We do it with our politics, and yet we don't do it with our civil life. And you can stop that in a heartbeat. And the Saudis can talk till they're blue in the face about how much they want to reform and change and start opposing terrorism and all this stuff. The fact is, they planted these seeds long ago, and now they're manifesting themselves. Now the plants are springing up in the way of young people, 19, 20, 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds. By the way, let me ask you this. When was the last time a 65-year-old Muslim man tried to do an attack like this? Doesn't happen.
It's obviously rhetorical, but you're right. The problem is with the youth, because they're reachable via the internet. Let me ask you one more question, and I really appreciate you making time for me today. It's Raheem Kassam, Raheem Kassam. He's the author of No Go Zones, How Sharia Law is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. They are radicalizing or fundamentalizing or whatever we want to call them, the young people, through the internet, via social media, via websites that teach you how great Islam is and how great Sharia law is, and you get to control the women, and they're your slaves and whatever else. That's what they're doing. So how do we stop it? We can't shut the internet off. How do we permeate a brain that's already been indoctrinated by this hate-filled form of Islam?
Well, this is something I've been thinking about and working on a solution to for some time. And the answer I keep coming back to is that actually the reason these young people are so susceptible to a strict ideology and a strict way of thinking is because young people tend to like and need discipline. And radical Islam or fundamentalist Islam offers that to them. We now live in a world which is where we're talking about, you know, transgender bathrooms and NFL protests and all of this stuff. And the outside world sort of looks at us and laughs. They don't really know where they're coming from. They don't know where their grounding is. They don't have traditions. They don't stand up for their culture. And it's those sorts of things that the left is trying to whittle away, because when you whittle away traditions and culture and you know, a belief in who you are as a people, only then can other things fill that vacuum. And that's what I keep coming back to. If you really want to tackle this, you have to say, as far as I'm concerned, to the liberal left, we're just not going to deal with any of your nonsense anymore. We're not going to entertain this idea of having weird pronouns for people that can't decide whether they're a man or a woman. That's the thing that young Muslims abhor in the West, and that's why they're turning to a more strict and fundamentalist tradition.
Well, it's a second part of that question that would have to be, because of your great answer, is it really as simple as giving boundaries to a young person? Here's the discipline. Here's the way it works. Here's our value system. Here's what our government looks like. Here's what you are if you're in America and want to be an American. Really, it's that simple?
You know, when I first started coming to the United States, I used to visit Washington, D.C. quite a lot. And it would fill me with such immense pride, even though it wasn't my nation, to see flags hanging from, you know, the U.S. flag hanging from almost every single building and house. And now what do you see? Either the flagpoles are empty or they've got the rainbow flags on them. That's taking place all across the United States at the moment. And you have this feeling out there that the U.S. doesn't have an identity, that the West doesn't have an identity. So unless you give people, like you say, the boundaries of identity, then they're going to find it elsewhere.
That's amazing. I really appreciate you summing it up. And again, thank you for moving stuff around and coming on today. Raheem Kassam.
Absolutely.
The name of the book is No Go Zones, How Sharia Law is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. Raheem, can we speak again?
Absolutely. I'd love to.
All right, I appreciate your time, but very, very good insight. Your thoughts on that when we come back, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Program, thanks, Joe Pags Show. Great radio stations all over. Really, Carrie, I mean, you didn't leave yet. Already,
oh,
you shut
there.
The camera
Whoops,
off?
I didn't shut it off.
Nah, I'm pretty sure it was you.
Well, no, because right pretty now sure it says it's connecting, so that could be a problem.
So what you're saying is I'm going to have to step up and get you a better camera.
Well.
You want to know a secret?
What?
I got you one.
Did you really? Because you've been talking about it for a while now.
Not going to be until I get back from D.C., but I do have a better camera for you.
Do you really?
So people at home can see what you really look like.
And some hey.
What?
What do you mean by that?
It's a pay hey hey? What is pay
hey
hey? 1-800-383-9624. JoePags.com. If you don't mind, you try to connect with me and we'll see if we can make it work that way. Let me go to the phone lines. It's Stapleton. Stapleton, what's going on? Hi.
Good afternoon, Mr. Pags. I would like to say, regarding your question, how the potential lack of terrorism has changed my life, my shot groupings at Titan, and I carry extra magazines.
There you go. Thank you very much. Listen, I don't blame him. I really don't. For those who didn't hear what he said, his shot grouping has improved, and he carries an extra magazine. And again, you really can't blame the guy. We've got the Second Amendment. As much as the First Amendment is used against us, we've got the Second Amendment to make sure that people don't go too far. I don't know if it would have saved any lives in New York City. I'm not suggesting that it would have, but I would not have minded had somebody had the ability to defend themselves in New York City today. Listen, this person, and Carrie, you reported this, right? This person had a gun, right? Got out of the truck and started shooting.
Well, they thought it turned out it was a paintball gun.
Oh. What?
Yeah, I have an updated story.
So you kill a bunch of people by running them over. Yeah, if you can, give me that update. I did not hear that it was a paintball gun. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is from WHP 580 out of New York City. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio commended first responders and called Tuesday a very painful day in our city at a news conference. Just hours after a truck mowed down pedestrians and cyclists on the bike path along Manhattan's West Side Highway. At least 8 people were killed in the rampage, 11 more hospitalized with serious but non-life-threatening injuries. Let me try to get to where it actually happened. The suspect was identified as 29-year-old Seifuyu Saipa from Tampa, Florida. He was allegedly driving a rented Home Depot pickup truck when he entered the bike path at Houston Street at about 3:05 p.m. Saipa proceeded to drive down the path, mowing down cyclists and pedestrians for about a mile until striking a bus at Chambers Street. At Chambers, he exited the truck brandishing 2 handguns, which were later identified as a paintball gun and a pellet gun. There, he was shot in the stomach and arrested by a uniformed NYPD officer.
I actually have a story from Drudge that says he was shot in the butt. That's what it says.
Okay.
So, yeah, the earlier report said that he had a gun. I guess it was a paintball gun and a pellet gun. But I'm here to say, if people in New York City enjoy their Second Amendment rights like the rest of us do, I'm not really sure why New York City gets to just tell you you can't have one. You know, maybe somebody takes the guy out before that. I don't know. Maybe not. But you've got 8 people dead, several more injured. And again, it's in a place to where people really didn't have the ability to respond. And then let's go to Garland, Texas. We talked to Pamela Geller about this last week. And as you recall, Carrie, in Garland, Texas, the bad guys show up and good guys kill them.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, they were looking to shoot the whole damn place up. So, it befuddles me that the left is so fond of some amendments and hate the other amendments. It doesn't make sense. Let me go to Steve, who is in Arkansas. Steve, what's on your mind? Hi.
And
thanks,
I'd like
man.
To back up just a moment. I hear all of these conversations about what constitutes radical this and that and the other thing. But here's one problem I never hear anybody discussing, and that is the origin of Islam. Allah is not equal to the Christian Judaic God.
Yeah, I mentioned it earlier. He was the moon god. Allah was the moon god, right.
He was the top god in the Arab pantheon of over 360 gods. You're talking about...
Right, and he was the moon god. I mean, yes, I do understand that. I mentioned it earlier. You probably weren't listening. What else you got?
Well, that was pretty much it. I did not catch that. I apologize. I wanted to get your reaction.
No, you don't have to apologize. You're right about that. I don't use the word radical Islam like others do. I also say fundamental Islam. If you follow Islam by the book, by the hadith, by Sharia law, then you think people should die who don't believe like you. Now, other people are following some altered form of Islam where they don't want violence, and that's good. But for me, fundamentalist Islamists are the ones that are doing this. These people are not radical. They are fundamental. Yeah. All right, brother. I appreciate you, man. Yeah, I mean, I don't have time to do. Let's do the history of Islam, and then tomorrow we'll do the history of Hindu, and then the next day we'll do the history of Catholicism. Yeah, I don't have the time for that. But we do have to realize what we're doing. And when we say things like Islam is peace, and we say things like it doesn't mean submit, it means peace. No, it doesn't. It means submit. That's what it means. And to say that Allah is the same as the Jewish or Christian God, it's not true. I actually used to believe that for a while because people that I trusted told me that it was true. It's not. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Stay here.
You're listening to Joe Pags. Joe Pag Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com. Newsmax TV as well. It's the Joe Pag Show. Coming your way on a Tuesday.
It's Taco Tuesday.
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah, Carrie, you couldn't leave before this. Why do you make a face every time I play this song?
You know why.
Greatest song ever.
Taco. Uh-huh. I've got my tacos, my radio. taco.
That's right. A little salsa, I'm
ready to go. Taco.
Taco. Taco
Tuesday. Come on. The Joe Pag Show. Taco. See, here's the challenge, because I'm on television for this, too, so do I just do a little dance?
No, I don't think they want to see you dance.
No?
They don't want to see that.
Patch. Now me and Polo. The Running Man?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. He's the favorite part, turn it up. Bean and cheese sparks from Carrie Larkin. That's her.
Nope.
She's full of corn, tortillas, and beans.
Taco.
It's Taco Tuesday on the Joe Pat Show.
Taco. Stop playing that.
Joe Pat Show. Taco.
Terrible.
Tacos with Polo. Taco. Taco Tuesday. Taco Tuesday.
Taco. Thank you, Mark. Polo, if you would, please.
Taco.
Nailed it. And he was ready for it this time. Mm-hmm. First time in 12 years he's been ready for it. Because normally this is what happens. All right, Polo, what do you got? What?
Taco.
It's pretty much what it is. So so you don't like your taco the way that you said it?
No, I don't.
You know why?
Polo can do it.
Taco.
No.
Comes off as racist.
No, it doesn't. I can say taco.
Still, I'm just going to put it out there. It's going to put it out there.
Better than yours.
All right, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Bottom of this hour will be Attorney General from the great state of Texas, Ken Paxton. Ken is in this fight with, I guess, the ACLU and the far lefties that think that abortion is a constitutional right. You know, I think I keep saying Paxton. And it's not, it's Paxton, isn't it?
No, or it's Paxton. Paxton. It is Paxton.
There is a T in there, is there not?
Yes. Yes.
How could I not know that? I've been talking to this guy for years.
How many times have you interviewed this dude?
We're like almost friends.
Not Paxton, yeah, almost.
Because then I think of Bill Paxton was the actor, right?
Yeah. No, this is Paxton.
I should ask him if they're related next time I talk to him.
I wouldn't do that, no. Because it's two different names.
What, because it's not the same name?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's similar, it looks similar.
No.
No, we'll have Ken Paxton on at the bottom of the hour. He is the Attorney General, again, of Texas. And simple question, and I'll ask it right now. We can get the discussion going. I've got a lot of people who want to talk about the Second Amendment. I've got a lot of people who want to talk about the terrorist attack in Manhattan. By the way, I'm seeing dozens now injured on Twitter. That's what's trending. Do we know how many are injured in this attack in Manhattan?
I'm just looking over. All I know are several, and I've heard maybe a dozen to 15.
Yeah, I've heard 11 or 12, then I heard 15.
I'll double check. I don't know. I think there are several numbers rolling around right now as far as the injured. But I'll double check.
So obviously still a fluid situation. When we get more information, we'll certainly bring it to you. Bottom of the hour, we'll have Ken Paxton on because an illegal alien 17-year-old who came here pregnant decided that she wanted to have an abortion. And the left in this country is so disgusting that they pushed for her to have the abortion. And the ACLU actually defended her constitutional right to have an abortion, which doesn't exist. There is no constitutional right to abortion. The Supreme Court decision was about privacy and making your own health decisions. I don't think getting an abortion is a health decision, but that's an argument for another day. But Paxton says that the discussion isn't over. And he says this is a story, a case, a situation, a happenstance that has to be examined even further. And it should have gone to the Supreme Court, in his opinion. Well, guess what? The baby's already been aborted. That happened last week. And the left was claiming that somehow Ken Paxton and Texas were holding this girl hostage somehow. So you come here illegally, and then you get the right to abort your unborn child? It's, to me, I don't know, man. That's just a different level of gross to me. I mean, the abortion debate really does have to happen somehow on a level playing field above board without all the name calling and everything else. That really does have to happen. But when it comes to illegal aliens coming across the border, allegedly looking for a better life or coming here to get the benefits of the country and not really caring about the country, you have to start asking yourselves a question. Is this something we want to be known for? Hey, you need an abortion? Go to America. Yay, America, the home of the brave, the land of the abortion. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I don't want to be known as that. I don't think that we should be the abortion country. Kara, do you have any ideas? Abortion legal or illegal in Mexico? Do we know?
I don't know. I can look
it
up.
I would think it's predominantly Catholic. I wouldn't be surprised if there were an issue. Yeah, if you can, look that up for me.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, other people are calling in, and they've got a bunch of different topics on their minds. But I really do want to break this down. I'm not going to have, Karina, I'm not going to have the abortion debate. Because, A, I'll win. I'm right. And, B, it's boring. Because people who are for abortion are steeped in their beliefs, and they're dug in. Those who are against abortion are steeped in their beliefs and are dug in. There are a lot of people on the borderline who claim they're pro-choice, but they're really not. But they claim it because they don't want to be sort of outcast in the community, which is kind of strange. But I'm not going to have the abortion debate. I want to have the discussion, and I want to have the debate, if there is one to have, I don't even say how there'd be a debate, of whether a 17-year-old who came here illegally, and obviously when you're 17, you knowingly came here illegally, who's pregnant, so obviously she's living, you know, as an adult. I haven't heard any story about her being raped or incest or anything like that. Just somebody who's pregnant, didn't want the kid, boom, let's have an abortion. So somebody who's made those adult-like decisions comes here, breaks the law, is being detained by, I guess, Homeland Security, and decides, I want an abortion, and we have to let her have it? I don't know, man. I find that to be kind of amazing. I don't want to be the land of the abortion. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. By the way, later, on a completely disconnected story, but a lighter story, certainly. My daughter, Sam, is now working with the show, as you know, Carrie. She has for a long time with her photography and stuff.
Right.
And yes, Sam's going with me to Washington. She's going to be one of the videographers of this thing.
Awesome.
Whatever the interviews happen to be, and I can't say. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But, she also sends me, like Karina sends me news stories every day, which are great.
Uh-huh.
Sam has started doing that too. This is what her title of this item was that I will get to later.
Okay.
Get free crap if you wear your costume to these places on Halloween.
I like it.
So
good.
So later on, we'll have a list where you can get free crap if you and your kids show up wearing their
like
Halloween outfits.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing wrong with free crap. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Let me go to Gerald in Houston. Gerald, my friend, how are you?
How are you doing? You have quite a few Geralds that call, I noticed.
Yeah, but we always know when it's the real Gerald. The other ones are just wannabes, let's be honest.
Okay. If I may just speak to you and your lovely assistant, of course. I must.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
yes.
So sweet.
About the abortion debate. Because
sure.
I did a paper on the abortion when the Warren Court passed it. And okay. The Warren Court, which was a liberal court, by the way, they were hands were tied by the Civil Rights Act. And it's a sentence in there that a lot of people fail to realize, which the reason the abortion became law was to give Negro women the same rights as white women. And that's what the Civil Rights, the Warren Court didn't want to pass it. But they had to pass it because they wanted to give everyone equal opportunity for that. And it was a
Gerald. I want to make sure that I understand. You're telling me there's a line in the ruling in the decision in the opinion that says it gives Negro women the same rights as white women.
Yeah, it says it in there. If you go back and look at,
did not know that.
They're going to say that, and the Warren Court really did not want to pass that particular item, which was abortion. You know, 1971 was a tough time. The world was changing. All these riots were happening. And so they did that, one reason, to stop America from going off the deep end. But the other reason, just to give it a level playing field. They never imagined that it would become a argument, as you just eloquently stated, saying that we are the country of abortions. They didn't mean it to come to that, but it has.
Yeah.
And so,
well, Gerald, I've got to ask you this, because you said that you did a paper on it, so you're very knowledgeable on it. The subject of Roe v. Wade was white. She wasn't a black woman. What did race have to do with it?
Because of the Civil Rights Act of 1965. You have
right.
to understand, Mr. Pack, in 1971, America was still in the throes of racism. It was still in the throes of segregation. And they wanted to make sure that everyone had equal opportunities to have abortions. And at that time, Negroes, as we were called, did not have equal access to doctors. They would have to go to the back room to get their abortions. And so they wanted to make sure that they would have the equal opportunity as white women. And that is the main reason it passed, because of the Civil Rights Act. That has been lost in history. But if you go back and look at the ruling and read it very carefully, it's going to be in there. And you're going to say, wow, it wasn't about Roe versus Wade. It was about giving everyone equal opportunity to doctors. And that's why they passed Roe versus Wade.
That's kind of amazing, because, as you know, Planned Parenthood, started by Margaret Sanger, who was a eugenicist who wanted to get rid of black people. Planned Parenthood, those outlets would show up in black neighborhoods. So black folks were getting abortions, I thought, legally for a long time. You're saying excluded from medical care?
It was not, because black women did not want to go to Planned Parenthood. They were very reluctant. But to go to Planned Parenthood, you have to understand, in 1971, they were real reluctant to go to white doctors because of that very reason, that when they went in to discuss abortion, the doctors would say, get rid of the baby. And the reason Planned Parenthood started that, just to say this, black families in the 50s and the 60s, I mean the 40s, 50s, and the 60s, were having 8, 9, 10 children. And that's what they wanted to stop. That's what they really wanted to stop, because they knew that those kids would have kids and have kids. That's why Planned Parenthood came into existence, was to stop.
And not only did they stop it, they also went from a family unit of a mother and a father and their children to now it's, 70%+ of black babies born in America are born to single-parent households. That was another push by Planned Parenthood and the radical left in this country. It all makes a lot of sense now. I'm going to check and see, read up on what you're saying, but it all makes a lot of sense. This was a push to control the black community. I get it.
I recently went to a high school. I'm not going to name it in Houston. I don't want to do that. They had at least 10, 14 to 15-year-old girls that were pregnant of single parents. And I just could not believe that that happened. And the parents said, well, it's all right. I just didn't even want to discuss the issue. It just hurts me when I see all what you're doing and people ask yourself, and people don't care. They just say, well, okay, we don't have babies. You can't bring babies into this world without the proper care, because then they wind up being just like you. And it's just, we have more criminals being born. That's my opinion. When you start having
Gerald, your opinion is very, very valuable to me, and I appreciate you. We actually went well over time just to make sure we could hear from Gerald, because the man, I love where he comes from. He doesn't mince words on the black community or any community, to be honest with you. He's a guy that is unafraid, and he's right. When you see so many young, pregnant minority girls or even black girls, it's because there's a breaking down of the family unit perception in certain communities, and that was done by design, and it was done by the left, it was done by Planned Parenthood. If what Gerald says is true, and I have no reason to not believe him, then that's exactly what went on here. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Stay here.
Joe Pags.
Great to have you. It's the Joe Pags Show. Bottom of the hour, it'll be Ken Paxton. Yes, there's a T in there. I'm told Bill Paxton also has the T, Carrie.
Oh, well, don't ask if they're related, though.
Well, I mean, it could be, because they both have the T. But maybe it was the Paxtons played basketball. There are a couple of Paxtons that played basketball.
As you get older.
Maybe they didn't have a T in there. One was on the world champion Bulls, and he had a brother. I don't know what he did. All right, there you go. 1-800-383-9624. And again, I can listen to Gerald speak for hours, except the whole, you lovely assistant. Come
That's
on with the lovely assistant
part.
Thing.
I love that. Love it.
He's lucky he doesn't get rickrolled more often. I'm afraid of Gerald's knowledge. I think that he would hurt my mind. He'd call it and he'd just light me up. But mm-hmm. I think I have rickrolled him once. I think so.
Really? No. Not Gerald.
I'm pretty sure I rickrolled Gerald. Then he didn't call for like 2 months. And you know what happens? Then I get like people email me saying, "Where's Gerald? I haven't heard from Gerald in a while."
I know. They care about these
people.
I don't
know. They do. But he's right. A couple of other Geralds have called in, and they're trying to sort of get in on the Gerald spotlight. Now, somebody we haven't heard from in a while is Ruth. And Ruth, if you're listening, I want to hear from you because it's been a while.
Yeah.
Definitely want to hear from Ruth. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Let me go to the phone lines. For those just joining, there's a 17-year-old illegal alien who is being held in Texas. What are they calling them, Carrie? Are they calling them detention centers or not? What are they calling those places?
I think it is a detention center. Yeah. And I did.
So you come here illegally. You go to a detention center. You did what?
You were asking about the abortions in Mexico.
Yeah.
That apparently is very controversial there, but it's a status that varies state by state in Mexico. The procedure is offered on request up to 12 weeks into a pregnancy in Mexico City, but is severely restricted in most of those states.
That's kind of something, huh? Because
only 12
here,
weeks, up to 12 weeks.
Yeah, in Texas, they lowered it from 28 to 20, and people had a freaking fit. They just did. Planned Parenthood, the left, the women's feminists and all this, the women's march, they just completely, you're trying to get rid of abortion. Yeah, well, kind of. So in Mexico, if you get it, you can request it, but only if it's 12 weeks or less, and still it's very hard to get.
And that's in Mexico City, but there are other women who have been sentenced and gone to jail for having an abortion in Mexico.
Wow. And again, we're the bad guys somehow. That's why I say I don't want to be, known as the abortion country. Let me go to the phone line, say hello, and welcome to Vincent in San Antonio. Vincent, what's going on? Hi.
Yeah, Joe, I have two questions. Since she's in detention, I'm assuming the taxpayers paid for the abortion.
And, you're actually going to find out the answer from Ken Paxton, but I'll give you the answer because you're asking. No, she actually, I guess somebody else paid for it. It wasn't us.
But they did it in the detention center?
I think that they allowed her to go to some place to get it done.
Okay.
And then you'll hear more on the story when we have Paxton on coming up. Go ahead.
Okay. And then second question, why didn't we just send her back?
Yeah, listen, because if you send her back, it turns out Mexico doesn't let you have the abortion. That's why. We're the abortion country. We have to allow people to have abortions. It's weird. And I got to tell you, Gerald added a part to that, I mean, it actually makes it sound even more sinister, this 1972 ruling. It does. If they ruled that way because of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and they ruled that way because they wanted black women to have access to abortions to slow down the growth of black families, that's disgusting. It just is. Let me go to RC in San Diego. RC, what's going on? Hi. RC, the phone didn't take. Actually, I don't have that much time. Make it about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, I agree with Gerald what he said earlier, but there's 2 points he missed on two waves. The first wave is when Franklin Delano Roosevelt passed his New Deal, when blacks left the South and went up north. The second wave is when blacks figured out, when you move up north, all the welfare state opportunities that they had, and they started migrating up there. Trust me, I know about this one, because in particular, when my mother had two children out of wedlock, and I was one of those kids, and she gave away to a relative up north, she only migrated north because she knew she can come up there and reap the benefits, and took me back. Now, if you care to go on with this story after your break, I can help you out a little bit more.
Well, I can't after the break because I've got Ken Paxton on. But RC, do me a favor. She's probably watching in California. Call again because we're not on radio in San Diego. You got to be watching a Newsmax TV. Call again. Not today. But we'll come back to this subject because it isn't going away anytime soon. Keep it here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pags Show.
Great radio stations across the land, iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, also Newsmax TV. Glad to have you along for the ride, and really glad to have the Attorney General of the great state of Texas, Ken Paxton, on the line. Ken, how are you?
I'm doing well, Joe. How are you?
I'm living the dream. It's always a pleasure to have you on. There's always a million different topics I want to get to. But right now, you've been thrust, and Texas has been thrust into the national spotlight again over immigration, illegal immigration. But somehow there's a tie to abortion, which I don't know, on the periphery, you would think those two aren't related at all. But I'm going to try to lay it out, if you don't mind, Ken, because it's a confusing case. You've got a 17-year-old who's here illegally. She is being held in some sort of housing here or some sort of a center here in Texas as we figure out what we're going to do. She's pregnant when she comes across the border illegally. She wants an abortion. I thought that somebody who's here illegally wouldn't have some sort of an inherent right to abortion. And I certainly didn't think that Texas or the taxpayers in Texas would have to pay for it. For some reason, the ACLU disagreed. Now, if you can, set the scene better than I just did. That's sort of the, those are the details as I kind of know them. Did I get it right? Is that what's going on here?
Yeah, so she came across the border. She wanted an abortion. The Justice Department, who you know, the federal government was holding her, the Justice Department said, no, we don't want to facilitate an abortion. The ACLU came in to represent her. State of Texas filed an amicus. We made a different argument than the Department of Justice because the Department of Justice did not argue that she didn't have a right to an abortion. We did. We said she does not have a constitutional right to abortion because she's not a citizen. We think the Department of Justice made a mistake on that. They should have argued that she didn't have a right. Instead, they argued they didn't want to facilitate an abortion. And the Court of Appeals in the District of Columbia came in and said, well, you can't block her. If all you have to do is unlock the door, then she can go. And especially if somebody's going to pay for her transportation and pay for the abortion, which is what happened. And so it's unfortunate the wrong argument was made. And the other thing that was interesting is that the Department of Justice did not appeal it to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
We're pretty sure we could have gotten an appeal and a stay to argue in front of the court, and it just never happened.
It's the Attorney General for the great state of Texas, Ken Paxton. Okay, so she did pay for it and did get her own ride, but you have been painted as somebody in Texas, and the Department of Justice have been painted as people who have somehow, I don't know, locked her up and held her hostage and were trying to disallow her from going and getting the procedure. Where did that come from, and who's making that case?
Well, here's the deal. She does not have a constitutional right. If we say that she has a constitutional right to an abortion, then that means that anybody can come to this country for an abortion.
Right.
And you know ultimately what the next argument is going to be. We have to pay for it.
Right.
So it's just the matter that they started off paying for the first one, but that isn't going to be the argument down the road, because if she has a fundamental right to an abortion under the Constitution, then why aren't we paying for it? I mean, that's going to be the next argument, and it's going to be hard to overcome. The reality is, there has been no case law. The case law has been just the opposite. Unless there is a substantial connection to the country, there aren't constitutional rights for people that are not citizens. And it's unfortunate that the court, while they did it, it was a very narrow decision because the Department of Justice didn't argue the right thing. There is this possibility that you open the door for all kinds of constitutional rights, even beyond abortion.
Yeah. It's Ken Paxton, the Attorney General of the great state of Texas. I'm not a lawyer. You know that. And you've actually scolded me before because I sometimes think I am. Maybe you didn't scold me, but you gave me a look.
Not too much.
I'm going to try to work this through my little brain here. Anybody who's in the country has constitutional rights. Until they get due process or found guilty of something and maybe deported, then they don't have them. I believe the constitutional rights extend beyond citizens because we've got people who are legal residents and people who have visas that they get covered under the Constitution too. When you're here illegally, it's a special circumstance because we don't know what your status is yet. And if you broke the law to get here, you don't just get handed a bunch of constitutional rights. I get that. But let's take all that away, Ken. Can you show me, because before the interview, I looked at it again, and I studied it pretty closely. Can you show me in the Constitution where the word abortion even appears?
No, I mean, it's pretty much understood in all legal circles that this whole idea that there is a Fifth Amendment right to an abortion is made up. There was never any statute. There was no law passed. The court made it up. They just literally found a new constitutional right. And now you're looking at extending constitutional rights to somebody who crosses the border and says, I want an abortion. So,
Well, not only constitutional rights, we're extending a non-existent constitutional right. And as you said, we're going to end up being on the hook to fund the abortions for those who are coming here illegally as well. This is a slippery slope. So might this take us back down the road of Roe v. Wade? Because it wasn't about abortion. It was about privacy and a woman having the right to make her own decisions without the government questioning it. It was never really about a procedure.
No, it's exactly right. And I think that ultimately this is going to take us back into that question.
Right.
And the question is going to be, does Roe v. Wade apply to non-citizens that just want to come here and get an abortion? And we're going to be in that fight. We're going to have it again. I'll guarantee you we're going to be in this fight again.
I want to take just in a few minutes we have remaining, and thank you for explaining that, because I'm upset because this girl did get the abortion. The unborn child had no chance. I think you guys made a great case. Jeff Sessions came out, the Attorney General of the United States, and he said he was very upset by the decision, but I think you're right. Probably should have listened to you more and made the same argument that you and Texas made. But I want to go to some other stuff while I have you. Can you talk to me about how you feel about DACA, about these children that are here? And they're not even children. Some of them are 30 years old now. How do you feel about doing something beyond what Obama did, which was illegal? I think Texas sued over it. And let people who are here illegally just slip through the cracks for a couple of years. Just give us a couple of bucks and we can do that. What should happen with these people? And what do you think will happen with them?
Well, so it's up to Congress. I mean, in my role, I don't get to make policy. I don't make decisions about what should happen to me. I look at the law, and it was clear that President Obama violated the Constitution. And if we decide that it's okay for him to violate the Constitution on something that some people are sympathetic towards, then where do we stop that line? So that's why we basically told the Trump administration either rescind this or we're going to sue. And everybody pretty much accepted the fact that we were right, we were going to win, and that's why I got rescinded.
Right. It got rescinded because of that. It's a very good legal challenge. And what the president did was he said, this was illegal. This was not the way it's supposed to go. This is not, you know, equal branches of government. This isn't make a bill in the Congress and then send it to the president. This was a guy with a pen and a phone who said, I have a pen and a phone and I'll do whatever I want. So what do you think the end game will be? Or don't you care in your role? If they decide, yes, they can stay. And here's the law that says they can stay. You'll abide by that as the top law enforcement officer.
Absolutely. And you know, look, it's not that I don't care. It's just that my role is different. So my words was basically to the president, to Congress. Congress, if you want to do this, then go vet this. Go fight this out. Go discuss it. Go debate it. Let the people have their say instead of just slamming it down our throats and forcing states and the citizens of this country to pay for things that, you know, were never voted on.
It's Ken Paxton, the Attorney General of the great state of Texas. Last question. I really appreciate the time. The border. Wow. The numbers coming across the border are minuscule compared to where they had been for a long time. Is it because Texas has stepped up? I know that we sent, you know, Texas Air, National Guard down there. We've got all sorts of technology now down on the border. I know that Texas was so frustrated with what Obama was doing that we had to take it upon ourselves without overstepping the boundary of the federal government is supposed to, is supposed to keep an eye on naturalization and immigration. But why are the numbers so low? And what is the Trump factor? Is the fact that he's the president, did that slow down the crossings too because people are afraid they're going to get locked up and sent back?
Well, that's one reason they actually know that they get sent back, which is something they weren't afraid of. Or two, when I've been on the border. I've been in Laredo. I've talked to the head border agents covering our southern border, at least the Texas part of it. And what they've all told me is that they weren't allowed to do their job under Obama. They were told not to do their job. And so now I had a meeting with Laredo PD in conjunction with Border Patrol, in conjunction with Customs and Enforcement, and they all said, we can now do our job. And that's why you're seeing the numbers come down. It's just a simple matter of letting them do their job.
Are you seeing, second part of that, are you seeing people sign up for the border for ICE and Border Patrol and to do the job more? Because I remember, there were ads everywhere, come and be a Border Patrol agent, come and be an ICE agent, come and work for the DHS. And people said, why? You're not letting us do the job. Plus, you're locking up like Border Patrol agents that are stopping illegal aliens that are bringing, bales of marijuana across the border. Are they reinvigorated, Ken? Are they like really skipping in their boots a little bit better now?
They pretty much are. I mean, they're satisfied because they're grateful to have the opportunity. Given that they couldn't do their job for 8 years, they were just sitting there.
Yeah,
they are overjoyed to be allowed to do what they've been trained to do, which is to prevent illegal crossings.
Well, listen, I'm glad that they're doing it. I'm in contact with them all the time. These are great men and women on the border, and they're doing the job that the federal government doesn't want to do. And now, with Trump and with your guidance and Governor Abbott, they are able to do the job better. Do me a favor. Will you keep me updated on this abortion situation with illegal aliens? Because this is now national, if not international, news. People want to know what the story is here.
No, you're absolutely right. I was actually on Shannon Bream's debut show, and this was one of our topics.
Right. Yeah, no, I saw it last night. That's why I called you. That's how it works. All right, Ken, listen, yep. We always appreciate the time and the knowledge, and let's stay on top of this one. We appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks, Joe.
Talk soon. We're back after this on the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
Welcome to the program. Thanks. The Joe Pag Show, 1-800-383-9624. Your thoughts on what you just heard from Ken Paxton. Before we finish on television, we've got to do Trump Tweets. Trump Tweets. Oh, yeah. Let's go to see what the president tweeted out today at 5:09 this morning. 5:09 this morning. I mean, that's early. Dude, that is early. The fake news is working overtime. As Paul Manafort's lawyer said, there was no collusion, and events mentioned took place long before he came to the campaign. Few people knew the young, low-level volunteer named George, who has already proven to be a liar. Check the Dems. All right, first tweet this morning. 5:21. The president tweets out, I hope people will start to focus on our massive tax cuts for business, jobs, and the middle class in addition to Democrat corruption. You can't forget the Democrat corruption when tweeting about jobs. The next one is at 7:06 this morning. The biggest story yesterday, the one that has the Dems in a dither, is Podesta running from his firm. What he knew about crooked Dems is earth-shattering. He and his brother could drain the swamp, which would be yet another campaign promise fulfilled, fake news week. Okay. I guess with them leaving, that would drain the swamp. I think that's probably what he meant. And then there was an updated tweet this afternoon after we heard about what happened in New York City. And for those who aren't following, there was a terrorist attack in New York City today, 8 dead. We're not really sure of the number of injured, but it was done with a vehicle, a rented truck, it appears. And the guy who did it allegedly said, Allahu Akbar, which means Allah, the greatest, or something. Many people say it means God is great, but Allah is, in fact, God to Muslims. It's not necessarily the same as the Judeo-Christian God, certainly not the same as the Christian God, which is a triune God. We can get to the weeds with that some other time. But, yes, it's looked at as a terrorist attack, an Islamic terrorist attack. The president tweeted at 2:30 this afternoon, in New York City, looks like another attack by a very sick and deranged person. Law enforcement is following this closely. Not in the USA, he yelled. All right, and that's it for Trump tweets for today. I had a great interview earlier with an author who we grabbed quickly after we found out of the terrorist attack in New York City. His name is Rahim Kassam, and if you missed it, I'll have it for you again next hour. I think it's important to hear. But I also tease the fact that we'll have some places where you can go, take your kids, and get free stuff, or as my daughter said, free crap for Halloween. What did I say, Thanksgiving? What am I ready for, Thanksgiving, Polo? Really, already?
I am.
It's the one time a year I'll have apple pie, Thanksgiving.
Really?
Do you like the apple pie?
I don't know, I guess.
Can't do the pumpkin, can't do the cheesecake, got to do apple pie.
Yeah, see, I would do the cheesecake before anything else.
Really?
Yeah, I've had a cheesecake.
Really? I did not see you as a cheesecake guy.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm not huge on cakes, so I got a cheesecake for a birthday.
I'm not a huge cake guy either. Carrot cake is my favorite. Apple pie is going to be the pie that I would eat. But for some reason, I'm already ready for Thanksgiving. All right, so trick-or-treaters, this is from USA Today, can get a lot more than free candy this Halloween. Wearing a costume today can mean free or cheap meals and goodies for you and your kids. Listen up, people. Still time to go and do this. In some cases, a costume isn't required to score special treats. here are the best Halloween deals. BurgerFi, whatever. What is BurgerFi? I don't even know what that is.
Really?
Anyone who visits a participating, I've never heard of BurgerFi. What does that even mean?
You gave me a gift card to them once.
I did not give you a BurgerFi gift card.
Yes, you did, because I had never gone.
Well,
until you gave me that.
Talk to Jenny, because I know I didn't go by it. I never heard of BurgerFi. Are they any good?
Yeah, they're good. They're good.
All right. All right. Well, you can go there at participating locations. Wear a costume today. Get you a free small custard. El Phoenix. I never heard of that either. Get a free ghost-shaped sopapilla. I don't even know what that is.
Sopapilla,
when
yes.
you dine in Tuesday. What is a sopapilla?
If I remember correctly, I think it's some kind of like a bread type thing, and they have like you can put honey on it.
I don't know. You can get a free one shaped like a ghost.
There you go.
All right. Insomnia Cookies. Visit one of the chain's more than 100 locations wearing a costume today and get a free traditional cookie. Okay. Jeremiah's Ice. Wear a costume to get a free small menu item from 6 p.m. to close today. So get there. It's between 6 p.m. and close in much of the nation, not everywhere. Krispy Kreme. Wear a costume to a participating U.S. or Canada location today. Get one free donut of your choice. Also, while supplies last, at participating locations, get a free glow-in-the-dark bucket when you purchase a 24-count of donut holes for $5.99 or purchase just the bucket for $3.99. All right? Nestle Toll House Cafe. Wear a costume or show your best smile to get a free regular chocolate chip cookie today at participating locations. PDQ from 3 p.m. to close today. Wear your costume to get a free cookie. Redbox, text return to 727272 and get a code for a free one-day DVD rental. And Burger King at 5 locations across the country. Only 5? Be one of the first 500 to visit dressed as a clown. 7 p.m. to close. Get a free Whopper. The select locations participating in the Scary Clown Night promotion are Miami, Boston, Los Angeles, Austin, and Salt Lake City. Okay, there you go. So get out there and have a good time. Now, Paula, will you go and do something for Halloween tonight or not?
No, this is pretty much what I'm doing right now.
This is the scariest thing of your night right here?
It actually kind of is, yes, now that you mentioned that.
Oh, come on. But by the way, Carrie left because she went trick-or-treating with her kids. So she said, I'm totally out of here, dude. I'm out. So I just think that's kind of rude, to be honest with you. Probably not listening right now, so it really doesn't matter. She's going as a cat? Did she bring her outfit to the station or not?
No.
See, had she been a team player, she'd have worn it on the show.
No, she knows better.
I believe that.
She knows better.
1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Donna, only a few seconds left, but I don't want to leave you hanging. What do you got?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say I live in New York, and it always confuses me why, if we know that these people think that, you know, by doing this, they're going to get 99 virgins or whatever, but if they're contaminated by pork or something like that, if they're not going to, why not just start some kind of buzz that people who have to deal with their body or handling them in any way are just going to start touching pork rinds or some kind of pork products and just contaminate them so they'll never get it? Even if they just think that, maybe they won't be so inclined to do it and they'll lose some of its luster.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I mean, if there's a real fear by people who are causing these terrorist attacks of pigs, and there is, why not do something like that? Who knows? Got to run on TV. We're back on radio. Keep it here.
This is the Joe Pags Show. This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land, iHeartRadio, JoePags.com. Glad to have you along for the ride, the Joe Pags Show. Coming your way on a Tuesday. Swing it. Uh-huh. Right. Blah-ba-da-da. Do pop pop. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Joe.
Crazy, crazy Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hey.
Crazy.
Uh-huh.
Hey, but that's how it goes. Millions of people
right, great to have Pat Boone there. Little crazy train on a Tuesday. Bop. My pleasure to have you here. Thanks for stopping by. Lots going on. I will bring you my interview with great author. Book called No Go Zones, How Sharia Law is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. It is Raheem Kassam. We had him on earlier, and I want you to hear what he has to say. At some point, we have to realize that Sharia law is on the way. And we have to realize that either we do something about it or we pretend like it's not happening. We have to make that decision. All right, so we've got that going on, which is nice. We've also, I want to update you tomorrow, heading to Washington, D.C. We'll do the show from there tomorrow. A bunch of big guests, including off the top of the show, Kevin Brady. He's the House Ways and Means Committee Chair, and he's the guy that is pushing for this tax reform. Also, we'll be doing a radio row at the White House on Thursday, and we're hoping to get some really big interviews for you there. And again, it's about tax reform. Now hearing that President Trump wants to get something signed, a bill signed by Christmas. And you're thinking, bah, it's a month and a half, 2 months away. What's a big deal? It's a big deal. It's a lot to do. There's going to be a lot of debate, and there's going to be a lot of lefties out there, a lot of Democrats trying to stop any tax reform from going through. They will lie, and the lie will be that the tax breaks are going to the rich, the poor get nothing. That's the way it is. It's horrible. It's disgusting. Trump just trying to line his pockets and his buddy's pockets. And, of course, it's just a big, fat lie. It's a big, fat, lying lie. All right? So keep that in mind. We're going to have all sorts of coverage from Washington. Make sure you stick around and always have it right here on the Joe Pags Show. You know what I'm saying? I think you do. All right. So should the president fire Robert Mueller? Just throw it right out there. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. He indicts Manafort, some person Gates had never heard of, some Papadopoulos, some guy says something about something, and he knows somebody or for some reason, and I don't know, he lied under oath, or he didn't lie, or he was going to lie, but he was an informant, but he wasn't, all this other crap, which to me appears to be a diversion from what's really going on. Uranium One, the Clinton scandal, the DNC scandal, the dossier scandal, all that's going on right now. So Mueller indicts Manafort. Even Manafort's own attorney said, hey, all this crap that we're talking about happened, you know, before 2014, happened before Manafort was involved with Donald Trump. There's nothing there. Then you hear Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the White House press secretary, say, we think that the special counsel's job will be done soon. I'm like, that was interesting. And then, of course, you saw the lefty dorks in the media going after her, that how dare she say this, and people attacking from the left. She's just a liar. We have to pay her. Believe we have to pay her salary. She's a liar. Well, we paid Obama's salary for 8 years. What's the matter with you? I mean, if it's about lying or not, then he wouldn't have gotten a red cent. But having said all of that, there's also a rumor out there that President Trump is thinking about firing Mueller. And by the way, it is spelled M-U-E-L-L-E-R, and anybody who pronounces things would want to pronounce it Mueller. I get that. Mueller. Do I have to do that again? Polo, do I have to play the Ben Stein thing again?
If you want to.
I think I have to, don't I?
I mean, that's going to be your claim to fame there.
Duh.
Yeah.
Pags.
Exactly right. So there you go. So it looks like Mueller, but it's going to be Mueller. I don't know why it's Mueller. I'm pretty sure he's the one who says it that way. But here's the story. Special Counsel Robert Mueller's charges against former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort and two other aides mark a new phase in his sprawling investigation into Russia and President Donald Trump. But the president's supporters in Capitol Hill have said they want all the facts to come in first. There will be holy hell to pay if Mueller is dismissed, said Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican, allegedly, from South Carolina. He told Fox News on Monday. Unconcerned about rumblings of the ongoing threat Mueller poses to the president. He said, there is zero evidence from the White House that Mueller's investigation will be stopped or curtailed. Asked to elaborate, Graham continued, quote, I've heard nothing from the White House to suggest that the president's going to try to replace Mr. Mueller. Quote, zero evidence from anybody that I've talked to. It would be wrong to do so unless there were cause, Graham said. Do you think President Trump is considering firing him, is the question posed by the story. Would there be cause to fire Robert Mueller? Ah, he's a former FBI head, and he's a great guy. He's also a friend of Comey. He's also, you know, when you're a friend of James Comey, and we know that James Comey leaked a memo that he created himself to the New York Times through a friend of his, and he said under oath in front of Congress, I did that in the hopes there would be a special counsel assigned. The special counsel assigned is Robert Mueller, a friend of Comey. That doesn't make sense to me. But even further than that, if Comey or Mueller were at all privy to the fact that the DNC and Hillary Clinton's campaign specifically, or even Obama through a third party to Fusion GPS, if there's any possibility that there's a connection there between Mueller and Comey and the knowledge of where that dossier came from, the fake dossier intended to harm Donald Trump, turns out it was completely fabricated and fake. If there's anything that he knew, then he's got to go. And even deeper than that, if the dossier that Comey had to know is fake, that the DNC and Hillary Clinton are alleged to have paid for, if that dossier was the reason given for wiretap warrants or surveillance warrants through the FISA court, if that was being utilized as the reason, the cause, the probable cause, or the reasonable suspicion for the warrants, all of that has to be thrown out. If there was anything gathered from that surveillance or wiretapping, it's got to be thrown out. It was gotten through illegal means. Anybody who had a brain knew the dossier was fake, and all they had to do was start with, before they go to the FISA court, where did this thing come from? Who financed it? Why is this allowed to exist? And no, I'm not going to give you a warrant through this court because of some piece of paper or some combination of pieces of paper, this dossier. We're not going to give you this warrant based on this that we can't verify. So if Mueller is doing any investigation whatsoever based on that piece of garbage, the dossier, well then, I mean, just close up shop. You're done. Put a fork in them. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Now, for reasons of appearances, if President Trump fires Mueller, the left will say that's his admission of guilt. He just admitted he did everything wrong. What we've been saying the entire time was 100% correct. He is a lying, cheating, trying to hide what he did wrong guy. So he's really in a pickle. If there's verifiable proof that Robert Mueller is basing any of his investigation on that fake dossier that we now know is funded by the DNC and possibly Hillary Clinton, and possibly there's a tie to Barack Obama for $1 million. If there's anything pointing to his investigation being led by that or relying on that, he's got to close up shop, lock the office, and go home. But it's at the point to where maybe the Oversight Committee does it, or maybe the Attorney General does it, or it can't really be Trump. If Trump does it, again, they'll be wrong, but the left will be saying he's doing it to protect himself from all the Russian collusion that he was involved in. Of course, there's no evidence that he was involved in any such thing. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Fire Mueller, let him continue. Should somebody get rid of him? And at what point do we find out what he's basing the investigation on? Keep it here. We're coming right back.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Oh, yeah. Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Bottom of the hour, we'll revisit my interview with Raheem Kassam, author of No-Go Zones, How Sharia Law is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. We had this for your first hour. This is in light of the terrorist attack in New York City today, Lower Manhattan. Some person rams with a truck into a bunch of people, kills 8, injures many, many more, and jumps out of the truck and says, Allahu Akbar. So there you go. We'll have that for you, bottom of the hour. Make sure you stick around. Right now, though, fire Mueller. Let him complete his work. Have, Jeff Sessions actually do his job. I think Jeff Sessions can be a good attorney general. I'm not sure what he's doing yet. I mean, he recuses himself for no reason and then sits back and watches this whole thing unfold. I think at some point you got to say, all right, what are you doing? Are you basing any of this on this fake dossier? Are you basing any of this on fake news? Are you now, because you found out this information about the DNC, Uranium One, the Clinton campaign, Clinton Foundation, the dossier, Fusion GPS, are you going to take your investigation and go look at the other side now? Or because you brought so many Dems on and so many liberals onto your team, you're not going to do that. We go to the phone lines. What would you do? What do you think should happen, Jeff?
Hello, Joe.
Hey, Jeff, what do you think should happen?
He should be fired, and it should be Sessions' job to fire him.
Yeah, but Sessions said, I'm recusing myself, so he's pretty much out of the Russia thing. That was dumb.
Yeah, he should have noticed all the rigmarole going on, and he should have came back and said, that's enough, this is done, you're gone, period.
All right, Jeff, I hear you. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Let me continue it now with Daryl in Indiana, he said. Daryl, what's going on?
Hey, Joe, how's your evening?
I'm living the dream, my friend. Talk to me.
You always are. Well, Mueller should be fired, but I don't think that the president is I don't think the president should fire him right now. I think you should go ahead and let him finish and go through all this until it's all finally proven that the president had nothing to do with it, and then turn around.
But where is he going to stop? What if Mueller says, I'm not going to stop till I find a connection, or if I find what could look like a connection? You know, at some point, you got to put your foot down, don't you?
Yeah, because they did. Whenever he got the ability to go ahead with this, he has no boundaries, no limits on funding, and... maybe the president should call him aside and say, look, either focus on what you're supposed to be doing or we're going to expose you right along with the rest of this program, and we're going to take you down too.
Yeah, but Daryl, you got to keep in mind, if the president were to pull the special counsel aside, people would say he's now obstructing justice. Because right. When he just said a few words to Comey about General Flynn, suddenly he was obstructing justice and Comey leaked this, memo. So I don't know. I think it's a lose-lose situation for him. I think that he should just leave it alone. But at some point, and I appreciate your call, the Department of Justice that works for the president, it's an administration post, Jeff Sessions should step in and say, all right, enough is enough. This is dumb now. Let me go to Richard in Minneapolis. Richard, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, Joe. How are you doing tonight?
Living the dream, my friend. Talk to me.
So I agree with you. I think that it's time for the Justice Department to step up and get rid of Mueller. At this point, whether he finds something or doesn't find something, they're going to spin it that there was something that Trump did anyway. So fire him, get rid of him, and move on. Because they're going to find Trump.
Yeah, but should Trump be the one who does it?
Pardon me?
Should Trump be the one who does it?
No, I wouldn't say Trump. I think the Justice Department should.
Yeah. Because if Trump does it, he's going to look like he's trying to got rid of the guy who was closing in on him. That's what they're going to say. And it's dumb. It doesn't make any sense, but that's what they'll say. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. It's one of those things that I really do think he's going to – people can say the same thing. Well, you got rid of Comey because he was afraid Comey was going to find this, that, and the other. In retrospect, I think getting rid of Comey made a lot of sense because Comey obviously had it out for him. The president says, hey, you going to leave this Flynn thing alone? You think you can see he's a good guy. You think you see yourself clear to just let that go or what? That wasn't him saying, I order you to leave General Flynn alone. It's a big difference there. It's a big difference. Now, the president could tell the FBI director that because the FBI director works for the president. He could say, leave it alone. But then Comey would then have a case of obstruction of justice or potential obstruction of justice. When he says, hey, you think you're going to leave? Think you can see yourself fit to just, I don't know. I just think maybe leave the guy alone. That's obstructing? Just bringing it up? Having a conversation? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I really don't. By the way, last night, I saw General Kelly on, I think Laura Ingraham's got a new show now, and General John Kelly was on there with her, and she asked him about Federico Wilson, and he said he stands by what he said. A lot of people on the left wanted to say, or did say, that he was lying. He lied about Federico Wilson when it came to that 2015 dedication of that FBI outlet in South Florida, in Miami-Dade. And he said, I stand by what I said. I'm not going to get into the details, but I stand by what I said. And then I saw them take a compilation of edits from that speech that she gave to make it seem like she was saying she got the funding. She was actually talking about how she got it named after the two fallen FBI agents. But he also talked about the reception afterwards or beforehand or the get-together afterwards. And he again said, I stand by what I said about this. And I'm not going to get into it any further. So for those who thought he was going, and he said, by the way, I will apologize. Well, he said, she asked him if he'll apologize. He said, never. And I guess he meant specifically for that. He said, well, I would if I got something wrong. On this, I didn't get something wrong. So he doubled down on it. And I think that's the right thing to do. Seriously. I think it's the right thing to do. Because he doesn't appear to be a guy that walks out at a White House press hearing or presser and just makes crap up. He appears to be a guy who probably doesn't like that scene very much. He appears to be a guy that walks out and knows what he wants to say, why he wants to say it, how he wants to say it. And I'm going to take his word for his representation of what she did that day. In the actual speech, she doesn't talk about locking in the funding. She talks about how they got the name changed and all she did and all the strings she pulled and how she got it done. She does talk about that, pats herself on the back the entire time. But he's now suggesting and alleging that later or before, she talked about getting the funding and how great she was. And again, we've seen her talk about how she's a rock star now. We've seen her grandstand through this, the loss of life and this pregnant woman becoming a widow. It seems to be right in her character, what he said, she said. I'm going to very quickly, I don't have a lot of time, but Jack in Minnesota, Jack, make it fast. Let's go.
Yes, hello. I don't know if you're still talking about the Mueller. I just don't understand how they can investigate a crime when there isn't a crime to be investigated.
Well, I think there are crimes to be investigated. It's a good question. There are crimes to be investigated, but it's what level of collusion did the DNC have, or did Hillary Clinton have, or did when it came to Uranium One? It doesn't seem to be any you know, there doesn't seem to be any doubt that that's exactly what went on. Doesn't seem to be any doubt that in getting the dossier done, the DNC and Hillary Clinton, that's the allegation anyway. It appears to me that those two entities have to have some answering to do when it comes to, did you collude with a country that is not very favorable to us? And those are the questions that have to be asked. As far as the collusion between Trump and Russia, nobody has shown me one speck, one iota of information that would suggest there ever was. Not anything. I mean, by now there'd be something, wouldn't there? Well, look at Manafort. Nothing. It's Papadopoulos. I don't even know who that guy is. 1-800-383-9624. Keep it here. Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
All right, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. You want to make Zuck mad? Just go and like my page on Facebook, Facebook.com/JoeTalkShow. Lots of people over there watching the program right now. We put hour number 3 up on Facebook. Also, stop by Twitter, Twitter.com/JoeTalkShow. Make Jack and the crew over at Twitter angry by liking the page. When I heard about the terrorist attack in Manhattan, lower Manhattan, I immediately got a hold of an author named Raheem Kassam to see if he had time to come on the program. He was able to. No Go Zones, How Sharia Law is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You is the name of his book. Raheem, I appreciate you taking the time. How are you? I really appreciate you coming on. I'm doing well, but I hate meeting new people because somebody just killed a bunch of people. You know what I mean? I wish that we had met under different circumstances, obviously.
Seems like the...
the way that we end up networking with each other nowadays is through incidents and atrocities. It's something I'm familiar with, being from Europe, of course. We've had 45 of these incidents this year alone, Joe. The United States really has an uphill task ahead of it, because there is just so much in the way of blockages and stoppages to policies that would make this country safer. The left continues to push, and so, you know, on a day like today, we really must look at what the courts across America are doing, what Obama was doing, how all these refugees came in, and what's taking place as a result of it.
It's Raheem Kassam. He's the author of No Go Zones: How Sharia Law Is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. Yeah, we've seen this in Europe, and you know what? Unfortunately, although, you know, with the internet and the day and age in which we live, it's not as far as it used to be. But Europe still is, to an American, a very faraway place, a very foreign land. It's happening over there. It's horrible. I wish it wouldn't happen in Brussels and Manchester and London and Paris and Nice. Boy, I hate that it happened, but that's over there. Raheem, it's here now. You're in Lower Manhattan, right outside of where the memorial is, to where radical Islamic pieces of garbage took down the Twin Towers, and now 8 people are dead because they decided to ride bikes on a bike trail. So we need to raise our awareness, obviously, but what do we do now before this becomes epidemic here?
Well, that's a huge, I mean, how long have you got? Here's where we need to start, is to stop allowing the left to drive this narrative, is to stop allowing the policies that were supposed to be put into place, the travel ban, for instance, the other one being the merit-based immigration system that President Trump wants to implement, allowing the security services and the police to do their jobs, unlike Mayor Bill de Blasio, who wants to stymie them at every opportunity. Yeah. There needs to be an uprising amongst people, like there was on November the 8th last year, to say, we won't tolerate this anymore. We won't tolerate people mowing down civilians on the streets. But also what there needs to be, Joe, is a much more serious conversation. And I believe this needs to start with the White House, and it needs to start with a prescription, a ban on the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization in this country. All the things that Donald Trump is doing correctly, he's not doing the one big thing that would actually disrupt and help to start dismantling this network across the United States, and that is banning the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. It has so many entities, so many arms, so many outlets, so many front groups, organizations in this country that push for Sharia law, that radicalize these young men and women. And at this point in time, we're 10 months into this administration, no moves on that have been made, and I hope this attack will bring to the mind of President Trump the fact that this is sitting on a stack of papers somewhere and he needs to get it done.
It's Raheem Kassam. He is the author of No Go Zones, How Sharia Law Is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. The Muslim Brotherhood has a very easy to find on the internet manifesto, what they want to do. CARE has been an organization that has been said to be connected to the Muslim Brotherhood and others. You're right, but our open borders and our refugee system and our First Amendment that gives freedom of religion and freedom to worship as you see fit is being used against us. And of course, the First Amendment doesn't allow you to smite at the neck anybody who you see, you know, who you deem as an infidel or doesn't believe like you believe. But we're seeing that, and then we're calling them radical people. We're calling them people outside of what Islam is. The fact is, if you're a fundamentalist Islamist, you believe that either you believe like I do or you die, don't you?
Up to 51% of Muslims in America believe that they should be able to choose whether to live by Sharia law or live by U.S. law. And so you can't buy this narrative that, oh, it's a tiny minority of people. It's not a tiny minority of people. At least 40% of young Muslims in the United Kingdom say the very same thing, and 51% of Muslims in the United States say the same thing. There has to be, I mean, Teddy Roosevelt talked about this so many decades ago. There has to be firm, hard asks, nay, demands made of migrants into this country, into any Western nation, that we have one flag, we have one anthem, we have one language. And isn't it incredible that on the day after the Latino Victory Fund, this Democrat organization, put out an advert that showed a man driving a truck with a Confederate flag on the back, plowing into young ethnic minority children in Virginia. Isn't it incredible that one day after that, we see that all along, this is not a problem on our side. This is a problem on the what I call the Red-Green Alliance's side, the Islamists and the leftists. coming together to defend an extremist fascist ideology. And here's what you said just a minute ago, that the freedom of religion protects this, but Islam isn't strictly a religion. That's what we struggle to wrap our heads around.
Well, it's a government construct too, right?
Ideology.
Yeah.
It is. It's a state-sponsored construct, and it is a political ideology. There are many Muslims out there, by the way, that don't want to live by the Sharia. We have to identify them. We have to drive a wedge between them and the Quranic literalists and fundamentalists. That would be the way to go about this. Instead, we tie ourselves up in knots, talking about Islamophobia and, you know, how can we be nicer and more welcoming? Listen, you could have been the nicest person in the world to this person who mowed down eight people earlier, killed eight people, mowed down more in New York earlier. It wouldn't have made a difference to them. The crocodile will eat you nevertheless.
It's Raheem Kassam. The name of the book is No Go Zones, How Sharia Law is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. I've got to ask you, Raheem, do you believe that the majority of Muslims who say they want to have Sharia law understand it? Because if they did, they understand that women are 50% of what men are. They understand that if you're homosexual, you die. You get thrown off of a roof. You understand that the Hadith calls for violence. And because of the way the Quran is set up, all the early peaceful, you know, mentions and notations are gone by the later violent passages. Do they not know that, or do they know that and don't care?
Such an incredible question. It's hard to really pin down what percentage of them will know and what percentage of them just think of it as adherence to the way Muhammad lived his life, and it's been drilled into them that they have to live their lives that way too. But what we can say and what we do know is that the first Muslim migrants into the West, on the whole, were actually not interested in Sharia. They were trying to get away from it. They wanted to live their lives, get jobs, own houses, own businesses, pay their taxes, you know, well, in so much as anybody wants to pay their taxes.
Right.
But, you know, they wanted to get out of what they were in. It's their kids and their grandkids. It's the second and third generations that we see perpetrating these attacks. And why? Because we have allowed a lax system that lets the Saudi Arabian government fund mosques in the United States and in the United Kingdom and across Germany and France. And we let that happen. You know, it's a very easy policy to implement, to actually say, do you know what? If you're running a religious institution in the United States, you may not take money from abroad. We do it with our politics, and yet we don't do it with our civil life. And you can stop that in a heartbeat. And the Saudis can talk till they're blue in the face about how much they want to reform and change and start opposing terrorism and all this stuff. The fact is, they planted these seeds long ago, and now they're manifesting themselves. Now the plants are springing up in the way of young people, 19, 20, 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds. By the way, let me ask you this. When was the last time a 65-year-old Muslim man tried to do an attack like this? Doesn't happen.
It's obviously rhetorical, but you're right. The problem is with the youth, because they're reachable via the internet. Let me ask you one more question, and I really appreciate you making time for me today. It's Raheem Kassam, Raheem Kassam. He's the author of No Go Zones, How Sharia Law is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. They are radicalizing or fundamentalizing or whatever we want to call them, the young people, through the internet, via social media, via websites that teach you how great Islam is and how great Sharia law is, and you get to control the women, and they're your slaves and whatever else. That's what they're doing. So how do we stop it? We can't shut the internet off. How do we permeate a brain that's already been indoctrinated by this hate-filled form of Islam?
Well, this is something I've been thinking about and working on a solution to for some time. And the answer I keep coming back to is that actually the reason these young people are so susceptible to a strict ideology and a strict way of thinking is because young people tend to like and need discipline.
Okay.
And radical Islam or fundamentalist Islam offers that to them. We now live in a world which is where we're talking about, you know, transgender bathrooms and NFL protests and all of this stuff. And the outside world sort of looks at us and laughs. They don't really know where they're coming from. They don't know where their grounding is. They don't have traditions. They don't stand up for their culture. And it's those sorts of things that the left is trying to whittle away, because when you whittle away traditions and culture and a belief in who you are as a people, only then can other things fill that vacuum. And that's what I keep coming back to. If you really want to tackle this, you have to say, as far as I'm concerned, to the liberal left, we're just not going to deal with any of your nonsense anymore.
Yeah.
We're not going to entertain this idea of having weird pronouns for people that can't decide whether they're a man or a woman. woman. Yeah. That's the thing that young Muslims abhor in the West, and that's why they're turning to a more strict and fundamentalist
tradition. Well, a second part of that question, though, would have to be, because of your great answer, is it really as simple as giving boundaries to a young person? Here's the discipline. Here's the way it works. Here's our value system. Here's what our government looks like. Here's what you are if you're in America and want to be an American. Really, it's that simple?
Do you know, when I first started coming to the United States, I used to visit Washington, D.C. quite a lot. And it would fill me with such immense pride, even though it wasn't my nation, to see flags hanging from, you know, the U.S. flag hanging from almost every single building and house. And now what do you see? Either the flagpoles are empty or they've got the rainbow flags on them. Yeah. That's taking place all across the United States at the moment. And you have this feeling out there that the U.S. doesn't have an identity, that the West doesn't have an identity. So unless you give people, like you say, the boundaries of identity, then they're going to find it elsewhere.
That's amazing. I really appreciate you summing it up. And again, thank you for moving stuff around and coming on today. Raheem Kassam, the name of the book is No-Go Zones, How Sharia Law is Coming to a Neighborhood Near You. Raheem, can we speak again?
Absolutely. I'd love to.
We really appreciate him taking the time today. And he came on short notice, and we do appreciate Raheem. Go and get his book. We're coming right back on the Joe Pags Show. Stay right here.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
Hi, great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. It is the Joe Pags Show. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Just a program note, tomorrow the show will be on, and I'll be from Washington, D.C. Going to go there, going to meet up with the movers, the shakers, going to rub elbows with this guy and that person and that lady, and we're going to get it all done. On Thursday, it's going to be a radio row, which basically means, Polo, have you ever been to a radio row?
I don't think so.
We did a radio row at the RNC when I was broadcasting for the Republican National Convention in Cleveland last July. And, well, actually, a year ago, July now, right? And it's basically just, let's shove all the radio people in one place and go and do some stuff and then have a nice day. So we sort of had our own little, I don't know, area, cubby, cubicle, something like that. And my daughter actually made a sign, you know, a really well-done sign. It's like the sign behind me if you see the TV show. And we put that up sort of in the booth so that people knew, you know, which show it was and whatever. And they sort of cattle call people coming through. It's just like, all right, got Ann Coulter. You want Ann Coulter? I'm like, yeah, let's go. People would seek you out if they knew who you were. If they didn't know who you were, you had to go and ask them to come on. But they basically would walk through and you'd see some pretty heavy hitters there. That's how I met some of the senators that we have on. It's how we met a lot of the members of Congress. And we actually were the first to have Brad Parscale on, who was the digital director of the Donald Trump for President campaign. He's now, you know, blown up. He was on 60 Minutes a couple of weeks ago. But we were the first to have him on, and nobody knew who he was. He had to walk through like 200 different radio stations to get to me, and nobody knew who he was. He's this big 6'7", 6'8", guy with a funky beard, and nobody had a clue. But I don't know what the setup's going to be at the White House. I do know this. The last radio row they did was outside of the White House, like in I don't know, the hallway or something. This one's inside, like the East Wing, and I have not been inside the White. Have you been to the White House?
No, I have not.
Not been there. So this you as of right, this is kind of neat. You as of right now have no idea how we're even connecting, do you?
I don't. I guess.
And
we'll
I've asked
find
people to tell
else.
You seven times today. Tomorrow, right before the beginning of the show, you'll find out. I guess. Yep. So we don't know how that's going to happen. But I am taking Thursday off, which is the day of the radio row, because I didn't want any constraints. The thing ends at 6 or 7 p.m., and my show starts at 6 p.m. Eastern. I don't know if you – wouldn't it be embarrassing if I got kicked out of the White House? You don't want to get kicked out of the White House, do you?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be totally surprised if that happened, but you definitely don't
want that to happen. What does that mean? Listen, I'm not going to eat gassy food. Well, I'm going to be very careful. Can you imagine? That'd be horrible.
I thought it would be because you'd show up in your jeans and white tennis shoes.
No, I went and bought a new suit.
Oh, look at you.
Oh, yeah, I'm suiting it up, dude. I'm suiting it up. I even bought some shirts and a tie.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. We're going to make it happen. Ladies, calm down.
All you need to do is shower and you're good.
I don't know if I'm going to go that far. Let's not push it. Come on. I already spent a bunch of money.
There you go.
So we're going to do Radio Row on Thursday. We're going to be a bunch of radio people like elbowing to try to get people. But I already know some of the ones that I'm getting. And you, listen, let me just say this. I'll be back on Friday with all these interviews. You're not going to want to miss these interviews. They're going to be, you're going to be like, okay, I'm glad that I didn't miss that. So make sure you stick around for that. But tomorrow we will be on as usual, but it'll be from Washington. House Ways and Means Committee Chair Kevin Brady off the top. He's the like the go-to guy, the point man, when it comes to the tax reform bill that the president wants done, and he wants to sign it by Christmas. And also we'll have Senator Ted Cruz. We know that's happening too tomorrow. That'll be top of hour number three. So hour number one, hour number three, that's covered. And if I have time, I've already been invited like to the Capitol to go visit this congressman's office and that senator's place and whatever. I don't know that we have time tomorrow, but we'll bring you as many interviews as we can. Then again, on Friday, it's going to be a show you're not going to want to miss. I mean, just don't be stupid. This is the one you can miss. You can get mad at me and miss whatever other show. You're not going to want to miss that show. All right? Did you see the Colin Kaepernick Halloween costume? You see the guy got in trouble as racist?
The cop?
Cop puts on, decides to put on, as Sam calls him, a Colin Pumpernickel outfit. And he puts on, obviously, a fake afro and, like, a witch's nose, and he's being called a racist. I don't think he went with blackface or anything, did he?
No, but he...
I don't think he colored his skin, but you can't wear an afro? Is that the problem?
No, but what I think he did do is he colored in a beard, and so I don't know if they're trying to make it seem like that was something since
if you color in the beard, that's racist?
Yeah, but who knows, man? Who knows?
Come on, dude. Let's do some pop culture. Play it! Dirty pop. Come on, man.
I agree.
You color your hair or your beard, you're in trouble?
But I guess just because it looks like he, you know, painted his face black, but it's, you know, whatever. It's just dumb.
Exactly right.
Okay, so I don't know when this stuff is going to stop. Now there's, I guess, claims that Jeremy Piven had sexually assaulted a girl on the when he was on Entourage. I guess she said it happened once when she was filming on that show, and then another time when she was at the Playboy Mansion. I don't know. It's just,
I don't think it's stopping anytime soon until somebody falsely accuses somebody and they're found like to be innocent.
Yeah.
We got to go for the entire crew. We'll see you tomorrow from D.C. See you then.
Joe Pags.